Are you sick of turkey leftovers yet? The reason I ask that is you think Thanksgiving dinner was good, just wait till the wedding supper of the Lamb. We're singing that song, Jesus is coming soon. We are closer than ever to the return of Jesus Christ. And the next prophetic thing to happen in the church is the harpazo, the rapture. And are you ready? I might not even get through the message today. Some of you are going, amen. No. But we are closer than ever before. Jesus is coming soon. Also want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And you're going, wait a minute, that was Thursday. No. For believers in Jesus Christ, every day is Thanksgiving. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, for the rest of our lives, we will be giving thanks to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is well-pleasing to God. So, and the wonderful thing about being a believer, we can give thanks in the bummers as well as the blessings, because we know all things are working together for good for those who love Him. Okay, I'm done. God bless you. Yeah. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love God's Word here, and love to have you follow along with us back here, John. Okay, got it. And we are going to continue going through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, until the trump of God sounds. I'm not looking for the Donald. I'm listening for the Trump. I know that'll offend some people. I'm looking for my king. We're going through the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And again, how sad it is that many churches in America today have thrown out the Old Testament. Shame on them. All scripture. How much is all? All is given by the inspiration of God. Genesis 1:1, all the way to the maps in the back. We need every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht, every tittle in God's Word because it's all God breathed. We are in Genesis 27. I know a lot of churches have jumped on the prophecy thing with Israel going on. But you know what? We're going to see some things about Israel just in chapter 27 here this morning that are prophetic. And that's why we love God's Word, the whole book, Old and New Testament. And so what's the next step after we open our Bibles? Open our hearts, because you can have an open Bible and a closed heart. And open our ears. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word given by the inspiration of God. And so as we've opened our Bibles, may we open our hearts as well to receive your word, which you said, Jesus, is like seed going into good soil that brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. May we get the rocks out and the weeds out and have good, rich soil to receive your word this morning. And so, Lord, with open Bibles and open hearts, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of the message, God fulfills his promise. Every promise. Every single one. As I mentioned last Sunday, Jesus Christ fulfilled over 322 Old Testament prophecies. Let me give you the odds. I shared this last week. I don't mean to repeat myself, but this blows me away. Just the odds on fulfilling 8, 10 to the 17th power. 10 with 17 zeros to follow. That's just 8. But yet people still don't believe. Jesus fulfilled over 322. Amazing. It's like taking the whole state of Texas, filling it 2 feet in silver dollars, marking one and placing it somewhere with somebody blindfolded, and then letting them go and walk until they decide they want to reach down and pick one up, and picking that one you marked on the first time. That's just 8 prophecies. I just can't even, I don't think there's a number for 322. So the reason I'm sharing this is, folks, we need to be ready. Readier than we've ever before, because just before Paul preaches on the rapture of the church, he preaches on purity in the church. Pure heart, pure mind. The wonderful thing is God has given us the greatest cleansing agent of all of our sin. When we sin and we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's no reason we should be walking around like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. We need to be squeaky clean. And so here this morning, it's been approximately 37 years since chapter 26. Wow, time flies. Only seems like a week to me. 37 years which have passed between chapters 26 and 27. As we will see, Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of promise, is now old, and his sight is beginning to fail. He thinks he is nearing the end of his days. I know all of us, we reach a certain age, we think, I'm getting close to the finish line. But he still had 43 more years, didn't know it. Oftentimes when I hear people say, I wish the Lord would take me home, I just remind them, he's not finished with you yet. Just in your prayer life, he's got friends, relatives, loved ones, even enemies that we need to pray for their salvation. You may not have all of these visible spiritual gifts, but every believer in this place has the ability to pray and talk to the true and the living God. And my Bible tells me his ear is attentive to all of our prayers. So don't check out yet. And so here he calls Esau, his son, who was the outdoorsman, telling him that he's old. Therefore, go out to the field, he says, and hunt for me and bring back some game and make some savory food for me before I die, that my soul shall bless you before I die. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. First lesson this morning, don't show favoritism between your kids. Love them all equally. Why do I say that? Because God chose the biggest knucklehead in my family, hello, to save me first, the most unlikely, and through my salvation, my wife's salvation, and just letting the light shine, God began to pick off every family member in our family. And so, you know, it's not in how we start. It's all in how we finish. And that's why I love Old Testament and New Testament. You see some people like myself, knuckleheads, that started off. I mean, like, are you kidding me? But then, before they left to go to be with the Lord, their lives radically changed. Why? Because God has the ability to change the most wretched sinner. I'm proof of that. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, but Joe Coleman wasn't born yet. So let's look at the first four verses here this morning. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. He's given up. And like I said, he's still got 43 more years. Up to this point, Isaac was a dedicated man. He's old now, but he was still a dedicated man. Chapter 26, verse 25 tells us that. He built an altar and would call upon the name of the Lord. And that's so important. The older we get, the more we really need to draw close to the Lord. And I'm not talking building an altar, because we as believers now can pray in the power of the Holy Spirit wherever we go. And so he has this altar, and he trusted God to choose his wife for him. He prayed, and you know the story. And again, it's a foreshadow of that which was to come. Abraham the father sent his helper to take a bride for his son. Hello, does that sound familiar? Again, prophetically, God the Father sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to bring a bride to his son. I'm looking at part of the bride right here. And we're getting ready, aren't we? Are you ready to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb? Isaac loved Rebecca. When Rebecca was barren, she and Isaac prayed for a child. And again, here's another lesson for us here this morning. Married couples need to pray every day. Man, if Tina and I miss praying in the morning before I leave, I just feel, whoa, you know? It's something we need to do, to get together and pray. We pray for everybody and anything, as long as it takes us. And I think it's important for couples to pray about everything. So she was barren, no child, just like Sarah was. And what did God do? He not only blessed Isaac and Rebekah with one child, but two of them. And even in the best of families, testing does come. Why do I say that? There was testing going on even while she was pregnant. She pleaded with the Lord that there was something going on with inside her belly when she was pregnant. She said, if all is well, why am I like this? Which again goes to show life begins at conception in the womb. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. See, God is omniscient. He knows everything. And he told her in advance what was going to take place. The Edomites and, of course, Israel. Jacob would become Israel and Esau would become the Edomites. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve the younger, which is God knows everything. He's omniscient, which goes to show that it would be the second born that would get the birthright and not the first, which is unusual, usually for the Jew. The firstborn got the birthright, which meant that they would lead the family and that they would get a double portion of the family's inheritance. And so here, she's really struggling because there's testing coming with these two boys in her womb. Even the most godliest of families, as you know, go through times of testing. We're not exempt from testing. Even when we pray every day, even when we attend church, fellowship, all the things that we're supposed to do, we still go through testing. And for good reason, because the Bible says it's the testing of our faith that produces endurance or perseverance. We need to persevere, and sometimes, you know, the best way to burn up some of the dross in our lives is to go through the fire of testing. And I would guarantee you, with every Christian in this room, you can look back in some of the tests you've gone through, and we can give thanks to God because of what came out of that testing. And so here, while Isaac was promising Esau a blessing, which was a promise of the birthright, Rebecca's listening again. The sad part is this, when Rebecca heard of the promise to Esau, she now resorts to scheming and trickery so that Jacob wouldn't get the blessing. Jacob was her favorite. And so as far back as chapter 25, 23, God had already promised the blessing and the birthright to Jacob. And again, God always fulfills his promises. Always. One of the things that God can never, ever, ever, ever do is to break a promise. And that should encourage us here this morning. Because this book is filled with incredible promises for you and for me that we can take all the way to heaven. And one of the things that encourages me, even in the midst of trials and testing and suffering, is that God is going to keep his promise. Every single one. Wow. And so here we see she starts to scheme, and we'll read the verses in a moment, and uses trickery, which was totally unnecessary. Why? Because back in chapter 25, 23, God had already promised the blessing and the birthright to Jacob. He told her when she was struggling with the two wrestling in her womb that the second born would receive the blessing, the birthright. And again, God fulfills his promise. God will never break a promise. So we, as believers today, because we have God's incredible promises, never, ever, 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 ever have to resort to scheming or trickery in our lives. God does not need our help. So watch this. Verse 5. Oops. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game, to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you.'" That's talking about the birthright. "In the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats. I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother's a hairy man." That's where his name came from, red, hairy. "And I am smooth-skinned. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Whoa. Not only did Isaac think he was going to die, but I guess Rebekah did as well, because she went along with the program. And again, God told them both that Jacob would receive the covenant blessing. So she was given the covenant blessing, or the prophetic blessing, back in chapter 25. And why is she resorting to scheming and trickery? Esau, back in 25:29, actually sold his birthright. You remember the story. That's strike two against Esau. For a bowl of stew, can you imagine that? As I mentioned last week, how sad it is that people are giving up a second birthright for something that would gratify their flesh. I mentioned last week that Esau gave his birthright up for a bowl of stew. I just drove by the pot shop down the street. There's people giving up their birthright for a bowl. You guys from the 60s will understand what that means. How sad that people are forsaking God's blessing and forsaking heaven, and no more tears, no more grief, no more pain, no more sorrow, all these wonderful blessings throughout all eternity for something that will gratify their flesh. How sad. And so Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And we read in that section that he actually, how sad, despised his birthright. Imagine that, he despised it. Didn't think it would ever take place. And not only that, Esau also disqualified himself by marrying two heathen women, two unbelievers, two pagans. And further on, we'll see he will marry a third. At the end of chapter 26, we read that in doing so, Esau grieved the mind of his parents because he intermarried with pagans, with heathens. How sad that now Isaac is living by his feelings. He can't see, but he's doing what unfortunately a lot of people do within our culture today, living by his feelings instead of by faith. And over and over and over, when we go through God's word, I often remind the body of Christ, don't walk by feelings. Walk by faith. Why? Because there's times, and I'll be straight up with you, that I don't feel like I'm saved. You ever been there? It's like, man, just the oppression and the, you know, the things that come with knowing the Lord. It's like, man, Lord, am I saved? And so Isaac is now walking by feeling instead of faith. How? His senses. Oh, food. He's talking about taste. Bring me something that's savory, something that tastes good. And then he wants to believe by touch. You know, he's going to feel in a moment to see if his son, who is Jacob, pretending to be Esau, has hairy arms. Then he's going to hear Jacob's voice and question, is that Esau? And so he's living by, again, his senses. And then we're going to see in a moment here, because Esau was an outdoorsman, he smelled like the outdoors, and Isaac is going to resort to the sense of smell. So senses, taste, touch, hearing, smell. And Rebecca knows this. Smart chick. And uses these things to scheme against Isaac. How sad when a wife has to scheme against her husband. And again, another lesson. If you love one another and submit to one another, as Scripture commands us in marriage, and you pray together every day, you want to do something to bless your wife and to or your husband, and never to deceive. Never, ever, 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 ever deceive, folks. Always be truthful in your marriage. And so here, she's going to scheme against Isaac to get for Jacob that which already has been promised of God. How dumb is that? It's already been promised, and she's scheming to try to get this for Jacob. And so here we see Isaac, bring me some savory food, verse 7, verse 15. You know, Rebecca takes Esau's clothes and put them on Jacob. And verse 16, she puts goatskin on his arms and neck. What must that have looked like? You see Jacob and go, hey, bro, give me some skin. No, that's what goats do. Couldn't resist. We too need to be very careful not to walk by our feelings or our senses. And what do people say today? If it feels good, do it. It's got to be good, right? If it gratifies our flesh, it's got to be good. Is that true? No. Satan is a master counterfeiter. He's got a tackle box full of all sorts of lures that he throws out there to tempt us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride, all of those things. What happened to Isaac and Rebecca's prayer life? Why didn't they pray first? Why is she scheming and why is he, you know, looking to gratify or to give the blessing to his son where God told him and Rebecca it would go to the second son, it would go to Jacob. And again, a foreshadow of things to come, right? Why Jacob? Because Jacob's next name will be called Israel. Hello. We're going to talk about that in a little bit in a moment. So faith is living without scheming, folks. Faith is obeying God no matter how we feel. In my generation, we had a song called Feelings, Nothing More Than. And that was our generation, a sensuous generation that walked by feeling and not by faith. I wonder, would things not have been different if Rebecca and Jacob would have gone to Isaac while Esau was out hunting? Instead of scheming, how about if Jacob and Rebekah went to Isaac as Esau was out in the field? Perhaps he would have seen the light with his dim vision. And deep down inside, Jacob knew that Esau had sold his birthright to him for a bowl of stew. So everything is already set in stone. But Rebekah and Jacob resort to scheming. And what does Jacob do? Look at verse 18. He obeys his mother. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Ugh. What's he do? He lies. You've heard me share many times. Wouldn't it be cool today if the saying, liar, liar, pants on fire, really happened, Washington, D.C. would be in flames right now. I couldn't resist on that one. Lie is a lie. Who's the father of the lie? Satan. He is a liar. And so who are we representing as believers when we lie? Man, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Another lie. Please arise, sit, eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you find it so quickly, my son? And he said, because of the Lord, your God brought it to me. Lie number three. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near me, come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He must have been a hairy dude. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Wow. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Lie number four. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. And so he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me. This is the third test, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let the peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Look at this. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's prophetic as well. You know, the Bible says of Israel, who is going to be Jacob's name very soon, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. That's why one of our prayers every morning when Tina and I pray, and even my own personal prayers, I pray for Israel. Because those that are attacking Israel have no idea that God's going to bless those that bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. I'm just blown away at the number of people, even in America, even some believers that are siding with the enemy. They're siding with the enemy instead of with Israel. And my question to anti-Semites, and again, I'll move on in a second. What do you have against Israel? They're never the aggressor. They're just defending themselves. Even prior to this war, one day 1,400 rockets were shot into Israel, and they didn't respond. Amazing. And you know, look at history. No one nation has committed or has blessed the world in medicine and in science more than Israel. Some of the greatest scientists in the world have come out of God's people. We have the Bible because of Israel. Messiah came from Israel, Jesus Christ, and the list goes on. We, too, make sure that you bless Israel. Be very, very careful. And so we see here, he says, cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Wow. Jacob very well could have refused. But instead, he goes along with the scheme. He there with his mother puts on his brother's clothes, the skins, takes the food and the bread to his father, as we see here. Notice how one lie leads to the other. How sad. Isn't that true today? When we lie, many times we have to back it up with another lie and another lie, and one lie leads to another. You're getting a jam. Lie number one, he lies about his name. Two and three, he lies about the food. Lies about the Lord. Wow, the Lord didn't tell him to do that. Lies about the food, calling the goat's meat my game. And not only does he lie about himself, but he lies about the Lord. How sad. How sad. Verse 21 to 27, he lies about his identity. Huh? That can't be you, Eric. You've got a horse. Couldn't resist. Forgive me, Lord. He's got a great sense of humor, though. I love that guy. He does. 22, he lies about his hairy arms. And 24, he lies about his identity and the smell of his garments. 27, and so in the midst of all of this deception, Isaac blesses him. And again, they didn't need this deception for Jacob to get the blessing. 27. And it came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. And again, this is all prophetic. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. Wow. Amazing. Jacob's blessing from Isaac. Our prosperity, dominion, and protection. These are all prophetic. And again, I was looking at a map the other day, and of the Middle East, where Israel is, they occupy less than 1% of the land. 0.06. The other 99.4 is occupied by Ishmael. Your people. So why do they need that 0.06 part of the land? Amazing. And so here, Jacob's blessing from Isaac, prosperity, dominion, protection, and it's all prophetic. Now in verse 30 to 38, guess who shows up? Look at this. Verse 30. Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you, your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. I guess Isaac is on a seesaw over Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed, he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. It's so sad. When he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, he despised his birthright. Now he's exceedingly sorrowful and weeping bitterly. Wow. Notice, but he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. That's why his name means heel catcher, deceiver. He took away my birthright. Is that true? Now he's lying. Jacob didn't take it away. God gave it to him. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said, Esau, and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, of my father, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? You see how things are snowballing here? Amazing how that works. And so back in verse 30, Esau returns. And it was actually a close call, wasn't it? He just left, and immediately in the door comes Esau. I wonder what Esau would have thought when he saw his brother with goat skins on his arms and wearing his clothes on his arms and on his neck, got this goat hair. I wonder what he would have thought. It didn't take long for the scheme, though, to be exposed. Scripture tells us very clearly, your sin will find you out. And here he comes, food and all. And there Isaac sits with a full belly, and all of a sudden Esau shows up with more food. Isaac is shocked. It says he trembled greatly. Who are you? Answer, I'm Esau. And in verses 33 to 34, the very one who despised his birthright, the very one who married to and is going to marry a third heathen woman, is now crying out bitterly for the blessing. Again, Numbers 32:23, which applies to today. Your sin will find you out. Again, look at 38 or 35 to 40. Amazing what happens here. Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob, heel catcher? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright and now away my and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to him, indeed, I have made him your master, birthright, leader. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also. He had a case of me-itis, didn't he? Of my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17, gives us a reference on this section. It tells us that Esau tried to repent, yet his heart was too hard. Boy, that's a scary verse, isn't it? But do you know the same holds true today? If God, through his Spirit, is trying to draw you to repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus Christ and be forgiven for all of your sins, every time you push him away, your heart becomes a little more hard. And eventually, it's known as the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When your hard heart just totally repels the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. How sad. He tried to repent, but he couldn't. His tears were not tears of repentance, but his tears in Hebrews tells us they were tears of regret. Wow. Yep, I know what that's all about. There were many times in my life I had regret and not repentance. Regret, remorse. Lord, if you get me out of this one, I'll go to church, I'll do this, I'll do that. You know what? He kept his part of the problem, or part of the promise. He got me out of these situations, which I'm not going to lay out there this morning, because I've only got 3 hours left in the message, so I better get moving. Just kidding. Don't hit the door yet. But the day, and again, as you heard last week, on Thanksgiving, 42 years ago, God saw my heart that it was repentant, as I laid on my bedroom floor in tears weeping, God save my soul. And even though we were living in California on the San Andreas Fault, there was no earthquake, no lightning bolt. And I got up and I thought, I guess not. I guess I went too far. I guess I've hardened my heart to the point where I blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and it was scary. Until I got up off the floor. You've heard the story. Went to my father-in-law's. Opened my idol, a can of Coors Light. Took one sip. Put it on his windowsill, and that was 42 years ago. And it began to happen. Things began to happen. The alcohol went. The drugs went. My wife had divorce papers filed. She was done up to here. I had put her through hell for 7 years. Her pillow was black with mascara. She completely cried me out of her life. And because of what God had done, when he saw repentance in my heart, we just celebrated our 48th anniversary. Now, no applause, please. Glory to God. And every year at Thanksgiving, that's when I got saved, I cry when I have to pray for the food. You know why? Because I look around the room and see what would not have been there if I hadn't have gotten saved. My grandkids would not be there. My kids would not be there. My wife would not be there. When I got saved, as you know, got called into ministry, and the first church we planted was in Vermont. And that's where my daughter met her husband. And that's where my first two grandsons were born. You see how God works? And now I look around the table and I give thanks to God every day for my kids, grandkids, and kids. And you can too. Just look around at your life, how things have changed, and they wouldn't be this way had you not repented and come to Jesus Christ. But so often we can get our focus on ourselves and not on God's blessings. Get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on the Lord and look at the incredible things he has done. Okay, I'll move on. Amazing what God can do. Isaac prophesies now that Esau would rule by the sword. Man. And that's going to happen. The Edomites would come from Esau, and they would be constant enemies to Israel, God's people. As we're going to see, and this is so sad, Esau hated Jacob. Esau is now going to even tell his father that he's going to kill his brother. Imagine. Jesus said, if you have anger and murder in your heart, you've already committed it. Sin is committed in the heart before we carry it out. That's why it's so important. The Bible very clearly says, be angry, but yet do not sin. The Bible says anger rests in the bosom of fools. Get it out. What do you do with it? You give it to Jesus Christ, and it's nailed to the cross. And God changes our hearts. He takes a stony heart. He's the greatest cardiologist that ever hit this planet. He takes out that rocky heart and gives us a soft, tender heart. And how sad that the Edomites would be constant enemies. Esau hated Jacob. And now, look at this, he intends to kill his brother. Verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, notice, see what I mean? Just as I said a moment ago, sin takes place in the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus talked about that. Hatred leads to murder. Lust leads to spiritual adultery or physical adultery in your heart before you carry it out. And so we have to be very, very careful what enters our heart. We even sing, create in me a clean heart, O God. That should be our prayer every day. Purge my heart, Lord. Remove all filthiness. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride, anything, Lord, that is against you and against the Holy Spirit and against your nature, Lord, remove it, please, in Jesus' name. Notice, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. You see his scheme? He figures if he kills his brother, then he now gets the birthright. Sad. In the words of Esau, her older brother's son were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. You see how things are compounding? And stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you. Notice she says a few days. Keep that in mind. And he forgets what you've done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Those were the two brides of Esau. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to you? And what she's doing, again, lying. We need to have our son go to my brother Laban's house so he's not tempted to marry a heathen. But notice, Esau is carrying this hate, this grudge in his heart, and he wants to kill his brother. How sad. And the one of whom Rebekah prophesied would live by the sword is actually planning on using the sword right at home. Sad. Rebekah hears the threat. She must have had great hearing. So she sends Jacob to live with her brother Laban, telling Jacob she would send him away for a few days, right? The rest of the story, if you've read ahead, the sad part, it will be 20 years. 20 years she'll be without her son, and guess what? She will never see him again on earth because she passes away while he's away. How sad. You see what sin does? You see what scheming does? You see what lying does? It totally, totally throws a wrench in our lives. We have to be very, very careful. Yes, there are some things that are truthful that we need to keep our mouth shut about. The best place to take them is to God. And sometimes when we're confronted and tempted to lie, don't lie, just keep your mouth shut. Many times I ask the Lord for spiritual lockjaw. You probably think that's a miracle for Pastor Joe to have lockjaw. But, yeah, she told Isaac she was afraid that Jacob would marry a Hittite, so let's get rid of him. And instead of just a few days, 20 long years. Again, look at verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? And we'll just look at verse 1 for next week. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Wow. Tune in next week for the rest of the story. As we close, again, it amazes me, to say the least, how in spite of mankind, God always keeps his promises. Isn't this amazing? Even with all the scheming, deception, and all this stuff going on, even though he gave the promise to Abraham and Isaac and also to Jacob and Rebekah, and even with their scheming and their trickery and all, God is still going to fulfill his promise. Thank you, Jesus. And like I said, he still does that today. Keep praying. Keep on praying, whatever the situation is. Some prayers God answers right away, doesn't he? Other prayers take years. Like my brother, my best partying buddy. When I got saved, he looked me right square in the eye and said, I lost my best friend, and he walked away for 17 years. Prayed for him every day for 17 years. One day he said, let's go play golf. We get on the golf course, third green. I remember exactly where it was. He said, I didn't want to text you, email you, tell you on the phone. I wanted to tell you face to face. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now, all glory and honor and praise to Jesus. Keep praying. The Lord doesn't wear a Timex. He hears you the first time like he did with Abraham and Sarah about a child. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. Just keep praying. And some things he answers right away, some things take time. Secondly, hold on to God's word. Hold on to God's promises. And again, I'm going to share a bit of my testimony. I had a Bible in my pocket in Vietnam. Good luck charm. Somebody gave me some stuff to wear in a necklace too, all the saints. I had saints, but I was an ain't. I used to try to read the Bible and I couldn't. You know why? Because I didn't know the author. This is someone else's mail if you don't know the author. Because the Bible clearly says, he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ this morning, as I usually do. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning, don't push him away. That will just make your heart that much harder. The greatest gift that man can ever, ever, ever receive is to be forgiven for all of their sins and to have a personal relationship with the true and the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to save us from our sins. No matter what you're feeling here this morning, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you would like to do it, after I got saved on my bedroom floor, I went to a church, Calvary West Covina, and Raul gave an altar call, and I wanted to receive the Lord publicly, and that like sealed it. And so the Bible very clearly says, if we confess him before man, he'll confess us before our Father in heaven. If we deny him before man, he will deny us before our Father in heaven. And so a public profession is really, really important. My Bible tells me that when someone gives their life to Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice. Imagine that. And so if God has spoken to you this morning and you would like to pray to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and have all of your sins forgiven, to be born again, and to have a home in heaven one day, as David said, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyone as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these important truths that we see here this morning, that we don't have to scheme. Lord, we never have to scheme. All you want us to do is to pray and to believe your word by faith, to hold on to your promises and to trust you with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways and you will direct our path. I pray for everybody here in this room this morning. We're all struggling with tests, trials, troubles, tribulations of some sort, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it might be. God, you know exactly what every one of us is going through. And I pray, Lord, that you would wrap your loving arms around every person in this room and that you would encourage them in their faith and in your word that you have got this. Everything is under your control. And Lord, you're going to see us all the way to the end. We thank you for that in advance. And yes, we're another day closer to seeing you face to face. May we be ready. May we keep our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our tongues pure, Lord, before you. We love you. Father, I just want to thank you for every person in this room this morning. I just love them and thank you for them. And it's such a blessing that we get to spend eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, we have work to do, to be light and to be salt, and to pray for our friends, relatives, loved ones, and even our enemies. I this morning want to pray for Israel's enemies, that you would save their souls from destruction from hell. And there's people in Israel that need you, Lord, Jews that need Israel. I pray for their salvation as well. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the time of worship this morning, and now for the time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, I still got 2 minutes left. Yeah. God bless you all. If I don't see you in the future, I'll see you in the pasture. God bless you.
Amen. Please stand and we'll worship him one more time.